That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Are you ready for Badger basketball? Because it's time to get geared up. We're all coming together for those amazing on-the-court moments. Shields is right there with you, cheering our team on to victory. So suit up in your Badger red and white with fan gear from Shields, in-store or online. And let's get ready for Badger basketball. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers take down Western Illinois tonight, 71-49. Running down the individual scoring, Stephen Crowell, 13 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists in this game, couple of steals, 13 for A.J. Storr, 13 for Chucky Hepburn, including 11 straight in one stretch, 12 for Tyler Wall, 6 for Connor Asijan, 5 for John Blackwell, 3 apiece for Max Klesman, Nolan Winter, and Marcus Ilver. James Dents pacing Western Illinois. He was their lone double-figure scorer. He had 17 points, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks for Drew Cisse, 8 points for Ryan Myers, 7 for Josiah West, and on down the line, 3 for Braden Lamar, 2 apiece for Tay Knox, Shea Davis, and D'Amico Anderson. Badgers are winners, 71-49. When we continue, we'll check out the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Back in a minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
I was crossing the street when I met the love of my life. I chased after her. Nothing would stand in my way. Not the dog walker, nor the hot dog vendor. Finally reaching her, I asked, "What do you call that amazing smell?"
It's Gain Flings.
Gain Flings. My love had a name, but more importantly, it had a scent.
Fall in love with Gain Flings. Seriously good scent. Gain Flings with 50% more freshness ingredients versus leading bargain detergent.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. So.
Rolling on with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as Wisconsin defeats Western Illinois tonight, 71-49. Our Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Rutgers having no troubles with St. Peter's tonight. Scarlet Knights leading 66-32, a little more than 4 minutes left in that game. And early second half in Evanston, Northern Illinois leads Northwestern 44-41. And Northwestern, a team I think with some pretty lofty aspirations this season, but the Huskies are 5-1, so another one of those. May not know much about them, but they could be sneaky.
They could come out that night and beat you because you're not paying attention. Looks like a pretty even matchup for Northwestern right now, so we'll see how they respond in the second half.
Tomorrow night, Big Ten teams scheduled to play. Michigan State against Georgia Southern. Maryland will host Rider, and the number one team in the land, the Purdue Boilermakers, will play Texas Southern. So now you got your business taken care of tonight, Charlie, and now Marquette, and then Michigan State, and then Arizona. So there will be no problem getting their attention here these next three games, right?
No, not at all. But you know what? Enjoy tonight. Be with your teammates. Come tomorrow and be ready to play. So tomorrow you'll be able to turn the dial off and then and readjust yourself to get ready for that next game.
Made a really good point there. Enjoy tonight. Yeah. Just don't everybody thinks you're going to win. Everybody's telling you you're going to win. But you have to allow yourself to feel good about this because they'll have an off day tomorrow, then hit the practice floor, then you lock in again.
Yeah, right? It's a great way to analyze, too. When you come back tomorrow, you can say, all right, what did we not do well? What did we do well? And how do we attack and use that against Marquette?
All right, look forward to that. Marquette, by the way, hosting Southern tomorrow night in Milwaukee. 71-49, the Badgers defeat the Leathernecks. We'll have more as our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Your neighborhood bumper-to-bumper auto parts store is a Midwest-based company committed to the values of honesty and integrity in all of our transactions. From Detroit to Madison, from Chicago to Marquette, we've got you covered. Huge selection, quality name brand products, a knowledgeable staff, and competitive low pricing. Plus, with our fast direct-to-home shipping, you can quickly get back to doing what you love most, working on your ride. Bumper-to-bumper, where service is the difference. We get it.
Monday, you're already late for work. You scramble, putting on pants while brushing your teeth in the dark. And you're starving, starving. But the only thing in the fridge, Friday night's leftovers. Oof, a three-day-old curry beef burrito for breakfast? Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com. That's WEABenefits.com. WEA Member Benefits is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Hey, Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues, 71-49. The Badgers defeat Western Illinois. And Chucky Hepburn was kind of quiet until he got loud. 11 straight points. What's that like when you just feel like, you know, Charlie, everything you throw up there is going to drop?
You just smile. You just smile because it doesn't happen that often. And when it does happen, when you're in that flow like that, I mean, that last shot in the corner, I mean, that was a test of like, all right, am I as hot as I think I am?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, jumper, 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 and then what Charlie was talking about, our call. Badgers up by 20. Here's Chucky off the crowd screen. Hepburn with five to shoot. Hepburn trying to go to work. In the left corner, rainbow three. It dances in for Chucky Hepburn. When you're hot, you're hot.
Oh, my.
Even Kirk Penny smiling at that. Yeah, even Kirk Penny was smiling when Chucky Hepburn hit that three in the corner as Greg Cardinal joined us postgame. We were just talking, Coach, about Chucky going on that 11-point run, and then he throws one up that hits the ceiling almost. But I think I remember Kirk Penny having a couple shots like that. It's a good feeling when you get into a
rhythm. Get the ball to go in and get a little – I told him in the locker room just now, he was tired of Coach Gard ranting and raving on the bench on the sidelines. All right, I'm going to go in and just – let's just put this thing away so Coach can relax over here, because he understood I wasn't real pleased at times.
He does have a smoothness to him. I mean, that the Rainbow 3 was one thing, but he just has a way of operating where he's in control.
Yeah, and he gets into a rhythm. I mean, I think that's one thing tonight. We could not get into a rhythm, and that's what all the switching and the gumming up, it just makes it ugly, you know, because they're switching on everything and – So then it gets you to stand a little bit and not cut as hard as you should or screen well. So that's what makes it look, you know, it just gummed it up, which they had to do. Otherwise, if they try to play it one-on-one, we have a huge advantage. But, you know, we're able to overcome a little sluggish start there at the start of the second half. I think that we needed to come out of the gate better. But we're able to make some shots and get some stops there and finish it out.
Well, coming into that second half, we were actually talking about it. Doesn't that give you confidence as a team? Maybe not as a coach. You probably get stressed out. But confidence from a standpoint of you got hit a little bit. They did something different, changed it up, and then Wisconsin responds, right?
Yeah.
Like, I like the response part of it to it. And then they shut it down.
We did. We did respond to it better after, you know, the first 4 or 5 minutes of that half. And, you know, I think adjusting to a little bit of the pressure took us out, and then all the kind of the gumming up, the switching, and the junk defense that you see at times. You have to be disciplined enough to play through that and not give in, not stop on your cuts, not slow down on your cuts, not give in to taking an easy pull-up jump shot when that's what they want you to. And when we were patient, we got stuff all we wanted at the rim. When Steve got going and we finally got the ball to Steve, we were patient enough to get the ball to Steve and let the offense work for us. I thought we got too impatient at times against what they were trying to do.
When you have a stretch like you have coming up starting Saturday, and you got Marquette, Michigan State, and Arizona, I've always thought that games like this can kind of put an extra knot in a coach's stomach, because everybody's telling these guys, it's Western Illinois. Yeah, you take care of your business. I always thought those kind of games, like, you know.
Yeah, I think probably even more so is the always coming off the longer trips of those tournaments, we've always felt that we're a little sluggish out of the gate that next game back. And I think it showed a little bit tonight. So it's good to get this, you know, whether it's the travel, whether it was a holiday, whatever, you know, playing two good teams in Fort Myers and the remnants of that yet. We're still blowing that out. But I thought that was, we were better, I think, down the stretch of the second half, and we're able to get more of what we want once we got into a rhythm. And that's credit for Western Illinois not letting us get into a rhythm and doing what they needed to do to try to slow us down.
Yeah, when Crowell was that focus, it felt like he was the focus, or maybe just points in the paint was the focus. But when he was able to be that focus,
right,
he made Western Illinois do what he wanted them to do, and he didn't have to score to do that. He brought everybody to him and got guys in the flow. And so it looked really like he was in kind of command.
Yeah, and it's a good guy to play through. You know, his size, way he passes it, and obviously he can score in there. And him, you know, I thought one of the better offensive possessions was Chucky driving and finally getting some dribble penetration and turning and finding Steve at the top of the key for a three. So the crispness offensively is where I felt we were just sputtering at times. And part of it's our doing, and we got to get better at handling those type of defensive approaches.
Well, at the same time, as we let you go here, Charlie mentioned before you got here, it's important to enjoy this. And, you know, you have to allow yourself to enjoy every win, right?
Well, as ugly as it was, Matt, we still were, the numbers kind of surprised me. 1.29 and 0.89 for them. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game that didn't have flow. And when it doesn't have a flow and a rhythm, it makes it look like it looked ugly.
Yeah, but you guys won.
You didn't have to worry about that on radio, though, right? They have to see it. You can describe it.
We were admiring Butchie's tie tonight, so we were giving a lot of energy. Looking very, very pretty. Looked very pretty for television. Appreciate your time, as always. Congrats.
Right.
Good luck.
Thanks, Coach.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard joining us. Can't resist. You know, we got a chance to jab Butchie.
You got to.
Badgers win 71-49. Charlie and I are back to wrap it up in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who keep insurance simple so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense. Ask No Insurance Group if Auto Owners make sense for you.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show winding down as the Badgers defeat Western Illinois tonight 71-49. And now the time, the games you live for, as you said, right? You got Marquette, Michigan State, Arizona. Boom, boom, boom. Here we go.
Yeah, if you don't get amped up as a player to play these kind of games, I mean, you dream of playing these kind of teams, the way they approach the game, how good they are. These are games that you don't go in with a lot of fear. You actually go in with a lot of energy because you know what to do. You just have to trust yourself. And it's going to get really exciting for them for the next three games in a row. But again, one game at a time. Marquette's next. An in-state rivalry is always super fun. There's always extra energy. But man, they are really good. I mean, they don't make a lot of mistakes. And I think that's what Wisconsin's going to have to do. They're going to have to really rely on their defense, their help sides. And then what they've been doing, really successful the last four games, going inside. Mm-hmm. They go inside against Marquette. They're going to have to take and try to shut Wisconsin down, which I think is going to be hard to do.
All right, we'll look forward to the game on Saturday. Our coverage will start at 11:30 in the tip time for the Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles, 11:30 here at the Kohl Center. That'll do it for us as the Badgers defeat Western Illinois 71-49. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. Ford Charlie Wills, our engineer Dave McCann, and Cale Rollins back at our studio. This is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Saturday as the Badgers host Marquette. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
With automation and robotics and all of the potential job losses and the frictional transition that's coming, would you feel secure in believing that? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So today, President Biden held a meeting, the first meeting of his Supply Chain Resilience Council, and took the opportunity to warn corporate America, hey, stop the gouging. He said, we know prices are still too high for too many things, that times are still too tough for too many families, but we've made progress. And look, this is something I said they should have done 2 years ago. If not for anything more than simply the optics of, hey, they're actually doing something. Just my thoughts. Want to hear yours. Let's go to the phones. Got Steve in Chicago on line one. Steve, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Had a wonderful holiday.
And I wanted, great. So a couple of points, and I think you've touched on some really important issues. Because, yes, it's true. If you ask people of a certain age, does the American dream still exist? It's not surprising that, yes, there's a difference when you look at the generational gap. For people who are baby boomers, for whom, you know, there was this tremendous post-war benefit in terms of this confluence of labor, the destruction of the industrial base in Europe and in Asia, leaving the United States the only real industrial power on the globe. At the end of the Second World War, half of all the goods and services on the entire planet were manufactured in the United States. So, you know, that just kind of goes to show you what kind of power we had, and by extension, the kind of power labor then had, because what were you going to do? It's not as if you could have outsourced the job to China in 1946. So this was a great opportunity. So a lot of these people who, you know, think that the American dream is still there, yes, because for them it was, and that's understandable. You know, it's just that they're not making the connection. They had a lot of opportunities, a lot of great chances to make the American dream work for them, even if they didn't get a chance to go to college. Those that wanted to go to college, well, there was a thing called the GI Bill. And, you know, you could build wealth and you could buy a home. And, you know, in the 1950s and 60s, you know, you went in every couple of years and the same guy, you know, sold you a new car. You traded in the other car. That was the American dream. So, but these people, I think, are divorced from the realities of today. Yes, they retired. They came into the workforce when it was a wonderful time to work and to be an American. And there's this great documentary. The title eludes me, but I watched it a few years ago. A friend sent it to me, and they were interviewing people who had grown up as baby boomers, you know, in the 1960s hippie generation. And they said, and this guy had this profound statement, in which he said, you know, we were a generation that felt like, you know, we couldn't fall. No matter what we did, that society was going to catch us.
Yeah.
You could drop out of life, go and have some fun, listen to music, get into a van, hang out with your friends for a couple of years. You show back up at home, and there's a job at a steel mill waiting for you, at an automobile manufacturing plant. So, you know, you could go on to college, you know, and graduate a few years down the road. You just couldn't fail, but that just isn't the case any longer. The dynamic has changed, and the fact is that we still keep measuring things like income and earnings as a function of household income. Well, yeah, and household income in 1969 was heavily dependent upon one person working. Now we're measuring it as a function of two people, and sometimes even more than two people, because families are being forced to live together, extended families are living together. And we're counting all of those people, two, three people working, sometimes the kids working, and we're counting that as one income versus, and comparing it to what one person made working in a steel mill in 1969.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of questions here. And the other point I wanted to make is you couldn't be more right with regard to Barack Obama. I mean, he wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but there is context, you know, in terms of how we got there. You know, coming out of the 1960s and 70s, and it's related to what I was just talking about, you know, in the wake of Jimmy Carter, the Republican Party, conservatives in this country said, no, this country is moving way too far to the left in every way, shape, or form, the courts, our laws, everything, and we need a conservative revolution, a Republican revolution, and that's what they got. And then, and so you get Ronald Reagan and then George Bush Sr., who should have had two terms, according to what the conservative thinking, but he loses to Bill Clinton. And you and I are old enough to remember how, you know, the Republicans and conservatives in this country went absolutely insane, because he was the first hippie, the first 1960s brat, you know, that was elected to president.
Yep.
George Bush Jr., George Bush Sr. was part of that World War II greatest generation. Bill Clinton was the, you know, got stoned, you know, didn't inhale, listened to that crazy rock music, and would have been at Woodstock if he could have made it. And they thought it was the end of the world if someone like that could ever become president, and he became president. And then you fast forward, you know, the pendulum swings back, and you get George Bush Jr., and of course the economy tanks 2008, 2009, and who do we get? Barack Obama. Oh my God, their hair gets set on fire again. An African-American Democrat. Oh my God! And by the way, his father's from Kenya, and he's got this strange name that, you know, that strikes fear in the lives of every conservative in America, thinking he's some sort of Manchurian candidate. You know, I mean, this was the surreal world in which we got Donald Trump. It wasn't out of some magical, strange place. This was all a buildup to Donald Trump, and then a post Obama. What do we have? Well, you have a lackluster candidate. I think Hillary Clinton was among the most qualified people in America to ever run for office in terms of her experience, in terms of her knowledge base, and so forth.
Just a bad candidate.
It's a testament to the fact that you've got to campaign. You can't just, you know, run on intellectualism. You've got to appeal to people. And it was seen on the part of progressives as a swing back to the center, whereas Obama was seen as a move in a progressive direction, even though he didn't govern that way. So the idea that anybody was going to get excited about a Clinton campaign in 2016, they sort of missed the mark. And what does Donald Trump do? Donald Trump walks in, and while 16 other people are competing for the same political real estate on the Republican side, Donald Trump capitalizes on hate, on fear, you know, and nationalism, and so forth. And to no one's surprise who understands America, he starts to win.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, we just don't sometimes measure the pulse of our country very well.
No, you're spot on, Steve. Appreciate the thoughts, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Alice on line two. Alice, how are you? How was your holiday?
It was good. How was yours?
Fantastic. What's good on your mind?
Well, what I wanted to say was, my son is in his 40s, and he and I were having a conversation over the holiday weekend about how his generation views the political climate and what's going on. And, you know, my son was saying, you know, we work hard, but we can't do anything because there's really no opportunities around here. And, you know, I had to agree with him because once upon a time, back in the 60s and 70s and the 50s, our little rural county, you know, there was all kind of things going on. There were sewing factories.
Yeah.
There were you know, coal mines. There were all kind of things and all kind of stores. And now most of the coal mines are closed. There's no more sewing factories. There's retail, you know, but nothing like there used to be.
Yeah, the identity of your community went away. I mean, we saw this in place after place when we did our tour last year in November. We saw it in place after place where, you know, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you know, lost the rubber factory. You know, you go to Akron, lost the rubber. You go to Toledo, they lost glass. I mean, you go to place after place, and the factory and the industry that was their identity has been stripped away. And all that's left now are dollar stores, repo places, addiction clinics, and, you know, the problems that you have in high poverty areas with drugs and crime.
Oh, absolutely. And our little rural county, because we are along, you know, like 79 and a few other major highways, when my mother was alive and we had to go to the hospital one time, I was talking to one of the ambulance attendants, and he was telling me, and this was back in 2004, he said that our little county, just for them, and he even said, that doesn't include the ambulances for the volunteer fire departments and the other ones, they handled at least 4 overdose cases a week of, you know, drugs are really bad. But my whole thing is this. When things start going south, so to speak, there's generally, you look, and there seems to be the Republicans, for some reason, always seem to be in charge. And if you just look at it, it's because instead of looking ahead to the future and going, okay, you know, let's try this, they tried the same old tired out formula over and over and over. And of course, one of the definitions of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome.
Yeah, no, you're spot on, Alice. Appreciate the thoughts. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
No, I mean, you know, the reality is, you know, and I have these conversations with my kids all the time because, you know, I remember I grew up in a world very different than we're in now, where you had local manufacturing, you had local, you know, stores, you had a local flavor. Everything wasn't homogenous. And there's a part of me that goes, you know, there was local ownership of things. You knew the guy who owned the local restaurant or the local five and dime, the car dealership. Everything now is being consolidated into the hands of the very wealthy. These hedge funds are buying up everything from your rental properties to car dealers to virtually everything you touch is now corporate controlled. And this is where, again, I come back to that idea of the American dream. You know, kind of going away, putting out your shingle isn't as easy as it used to be.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. That ceasefire deal scheduled to end tonight, now extended by both Israel and Hamas. ABC's Matt Gutman in Tel Aviv says it's not just to free more hostages from Gaza and Palestinian prisoners in Israel.
It also means that 200 additional aid trucks will go into Gaza with that critically needed aid for Palestinians living in Gaza. Reminder, there are over a million Palestinians being sheltered just by the UN alone.
More captives on both sides released today. The man accused of shooting and wounding three Palestinian men in Burlington, Vermont over the weekend in court today. State's attorney says they're still looking into whether it was a hate crime. Jason Eaton pleading not guilty to attempted murder, court denying bail. A relative of the three men they were visiting, Rich Price.
These three young men are incredible. And that's not just proud uncle speaking, but it's true.
Consumers already spending over $8 billion on Cyber Monday. This is ABC News.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former Republican State Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to be the first candidate to throw his hat in the ring to run for the next state Supreme Court election. He will be taking on Liberal Justice Ann Walsh Bradley in 2025. Schimmel was State Attorney General from 2015 to 2019 when he was defeated by the current Attorney General, Democrat Josh Call. Sources in the campaign tell the State Journal that Schimmel plans to formally enter the race on Thursday. Wisconsin commuters sound happy about the decision to add a second daily Amtrak round trip from Chicago through Milwaukee to St. Paul. Passenger Brady Scholten speaking with ABC News.
It'd be nice to have an earlier route that starts off, have that option to leave in the morning. It's just easier.
The second route is expected to launch sometime next year. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 6 above. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 26 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 20. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 15.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Are saying, to help push back against right-wing politicizers of your school district, contact campaignsharedfuture.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Donald Trump was campaigning in Iowa this year, and not surprising, he said that, you know, during his presidency, that he was, how did he put it? He was prevented, let's use that word, he was prevented from using the military to put down those protests. You know, Democratic cities had some problems, according to them. If you listen to any conservative, they'll tell you Democratic cities are all burning. They're all bad. They're crime-ridden. It's a horrible, horrible place. And we need federal troops to go in there to keep law and order. And he is now saying that the next time, he's not going to wait. He's going to pull the trigger. He's going to get federal troops in there to put down those people. So I thought that'd be an interesting time to reach out to my good friend Rich Ojeda, who spent a little bit of time in the military, and ask him, what do you think of the idea of federal troops on American soil doing police work? That's why I've asked Rich Ojeda to come talk with us. Rich is the host of the Ojeda Live nightly hit on Facebook and YouTube. You can see that at 8:30 p.m. each night. Also, he's the chief cook and bottle washer over at the Turn Left Pack, the website turnleftpack.org. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, Rick. I always appreciate being on your show. And, you know, the thing about what you just said is, what is the First Amendment? Does that not give people the right? Donald Trump is telling us that what he wants to do is he wants to establish a dictatorship, and that if he doesn't like things, he's going to automatically use the military might to basically, you know, do away with, you know, what he doesn't like. I mean, is he going to start, you know, sending his military to go after his opponents? Because, I mean, that seems like that's the path that he wants to be on.
But here's the thing. We've got a law in this country that says, can't do that. I mean, the Posse Comitatus Act of, what is it, 1878. It's been a long, long-standing thing. We don't use federal troops without congressional action. And I had a conversation with someone today, and I said, look, you know, this is the law of the land. And they looked at me like I was so naive and so just not getting it. They go, who's going to stop him if he does this? The Supreme Court? Who's going to stop him? You know, the people that he's going to surround himself with? And that's the good question. In the event that Trump decided, hey, we're gonna send Rich Ojeda and his brothers in combat and sisters in combat in arms into Detroit, into Portland, into Chicago, what do soldiers do?
Well, let me tell you, you know, first and foremost, this is one of the reasons why it's so important for us to make sure that we take back the House and increase the lead that we have in the Senate. We need to make sure that there's enough buffer there that if need be, our members in Congress can stop him from doing the things that he wants to do.
But here's the thing, Richie, this is my question, and this is what this guy asked me, and he's right. Who's going to stop him? The executive branch is the enforcement branch. Is the Supreme Court going to tell him to stop, and he's going to enforce the Supreme Court order against himself?
Well, I will tell you that, you know, I there are Michael Flynns out there, but for every Michael Flynn, there's 25 that are solid. And I really believe that. And, you know, in the military, you know, you have to follow orders, but you have the ability, regardless of who you are, you have the ability to basically refuse an order if it is unlawful, if it's immoral, or if it's illegal. And, you know, there's no reason, active duty, without a doubt. I mean, now, using the National Guard gets used all the time for emergency reasons. But, you know, this is what Donald Trump wants to do. We can see what Donald Trump wants. You know, he has painted the picture of what he wants in America. He wants to be a dictator, and he wants to be able to use the military to crush his enemies. I mean, I'll tell you right now, too, I have been really thinking about this, you know, the whole thing about Tommy Tuberville, you know, holding on to promotions in the military. And I really thought, you know, I heard this the other day. They said, you know, he could be doing this because he wants Donald Trump to name these people. And in that case, Rich, Donald Trump will only promote the generals that he wants.
Rich, I said that months ago. I mean, this is Tuberville's game. He's trying to do what McConnell was able to do in the Supreme Court. There's no surprise. These people don't just do things without thinking, without having a focus group tested, think tank approved. They know what they're doing. They know how to rig the system. And I fear that that's the plan. That if Trump does get elected, that then you end up with a bunch of Michael Flynns leading our military, and then they do this kind of action.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we are on the verge of having our democracy thrown out and a dictatorship started. And, you know, the sad part about it is the poorly educated, and I don't care, I'm going to call them that, poorly educated. The people out there that are just not that smart that are falling for this garbage. Those are the ones. I mean, you watch any event that Trump is at and they interview these people and it's just like they're mind-numbingly stupid. But what they don't realize is that they're the ones that are opening the door for this to come in. And if it ever does happen, make no mistake about it, they're going to be the ones that are going to be hurt the worst. But I agree with you. You know, I'm hoping that people are paying attention. I'm hoping, you know, that people are waking up. I do believe that every single day there's more and more Republicans that are, you know, refusing to support him anymore. And I really do believe that, you know, the Republicans out there that's got something between their ears, you know, that aren't corrupt, you know, I believe that, you know, they're going to not support Donald Trump.
You know what I think is interesting? You know, the talk of sending in the military to go after those people. We're gonna bring law and order. But to get health care to people? No, we can't do that. I mean, look, if you wanted to bring the military and the military hospitals into areas to help take care of people, I wouldn't be horribly against that. Because we're certainly not doing it as a society well enough. And I'm sure you saw over the weekend, Trump said he wants to go back after Obamacare. He wants to terminate it. Because, hey, we got to revive that again.
And that was something that he campaigned on. And that was something that over the 4 years that he was in office, it was always next week, next week, next week. Same thing as infrastructure. Yeah. Next week's going to be infrastructure week. Donald Trump campaigned on promises that he did not follow through with. And I really believe that there's enough people out there that are seeing that. I mean, I don't want you to hear Donald Trump talk about we're going to replace Obamacare. You had 4 years and you did nothing. And that's what we had to tell these people. For 4 years, he claimed he was going to replace it with something better and never so much as done anything. You know, Donald Trump is all talk. You know, he's all bark, no bite.
I'm not going there with you. Not going with all bark, no bite. Because I fear that if he is elected, he has already said, look, it's all about retribution. It's all about payback. I do believe you will see people like you and me put behind bars for, you know, for not being on board with Team Trump.
Bring it, bring it, bring it. Cause make no mistake about it, I'm telling you right now, you know, I'm willing to fight for this democracy.
Sadly,
I will stand my ground.
Sadly, you know, this is the position that we're in because of Trump. You know, even the thought, I mean, stop and think about this with me for a minute. I think 10 years ago, the thought of, you know, I'm going to use the military proactively in as a police force, and a president saying that out loud.
How did we go from President Obama to President Trump? I mean, that's complete, you know, that's why. I mean, I we would have never known, you know, we would have never thought that somebody that was that morally bankrupt could ever elevate themselves to the highest seat in the land. And that's exactly what Donald Trump and them did. And oh, by the way, all the people that supported Donald Trump and worked on his campaigns, for the most part, are now all, you know, criminals that are turning state's evidence against him. I believe, and I'm going to continue to believe, that we're going to win this. I believe that Donald Trump is going to be held accountable for the crimes that he has committed. And, you know, I believe that people are waking up. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we're in this fight. I mean, I have already pretty much took my calendar. 2024 is going to be on the campaign trail. You know, I mean, I'm going to India to help build a domain page to help veterans. But once that's done, my focus is on these elections all across the country. You know, we're putting billboards up. We've already got billboards in Lauren Boebert's backyard. We're putting them up in Carrie Lake's backyard. And then we're going to go after Ted Cruz and others. You know, this is a fight, and we're accepting the challenge, and we're going to fight this battle. And as far as I'm concerned, that's my mission for 2024.
There you go. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Rich Ojeda, host of Ojeda Live, nightly hit on Facebook and YouTube at 8:30 p.m. each evening Eastern Time. You can also check out the work he does over at Turn Left Pack by checking out their website, turnleftpack.org. And let's talk about that for a minute, because, look, we've got to go out and take out some and get out of office some of these do-nothing Republicans. Look, I look in my backyard. You've got Scott Perry, who has literally done nothing in his time in the House other than cause chaos. Some of these people have to go, and it's going to take candidates with resources to be able to go after them.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, we're out there right now putting up billboards in people's backyards. But, you know, I'm hoping that there's people out there that are supporting. I tell people the days of going to the election polling station, casting your vote and leaving and being done is not, and the days are over with. You got to support candidates. You've got to be willing to donate to candidates. You got to be willing to knock on doors, make phone calls, call your family members and have these conversations with them. You know, if you got a family member that's a Trump alum, the least you can do is try to talk some sense into them and explain to them, you know. I mean, that's what we have to do. And I think everybody has a role to play. Nobody gets a pass. Everybody's got to be involved. You know, our democracy hangs in the balance. And I'm telling you, I mean, we got to be in this fight. You know, Joe Biden is hitting home runs every day. You know, you got people that are screaming he's loony. But you know what? The guy is absolutely getting it done. 14 million jobs, Inflation Reduction Act, the infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, the PACT Act, capping insulin at $35 a month. I mean, allowing Medicare and Medicaid to fight for better drug prices. I mean, he's killing it. He's doing phenomenal work. And I'm hoping that people are paying attention. The problem that we have is the Democratic Party doesn't know how to tell their success story. So the Democrats got to get their heads out of their butts and start actually letting people know what they're doing. They need to be promoting Joe Biden and everything that he does.
No, you're right there. But Rich, have you heard? Joe Biden's old.
Yeah, he's old. But you know what? I will tell you that he coordinated NATO's effort to do what they're doing against Russia. I got to give him a big plus on that. I don't think that right there looks like he's senile. You know, 14 million jobs. They ain't nothing senile about that.
But Rich, he's old.
Yeah, so is Donald Trump. And I'll tell you what.
No, I mean, that's their argument. That's all they've got to offer. There's no policy. There's no, hey, we're going to make your life better by doing this. It's just attack and outrage. This is my problem with Trump and the Republican Party right now. It's all. What's that saying? They're all hat and no cattle. This is it. It's all outrage and nothing to back it up. And that's what I hope we need to have. We need to be exposing.
Well, I think so, and I think that, you know, I'm hoping. I'm really hoping that the DNC and the DCCC start showing themselves and you know their actions.
Yeah,
because you know we you know it's more than that. We need to be supporting these candidates out here, and I'm going to tell you too. You know, I think that ballot initiatives are very important, and states all across this country need to be putting cannabis and need to be putting women's choice on the ballots, because once again, we already know when you put that stuff on the ballots, people show up at the polls, and if we show up at the polls, we're going to win every time.
No, it's you know, what's interesting to me, since you brought up the abortion issue, you know, Trump is now thinking that he can run on being a moderate on abortion. Because, you know, Rolling Stone reported that, you know, in recent weeks, according to two people familiar with it, Donald Trump has privately remarked that several anti-abortion leaders, people who have spent the past year pushing him to commit to enact a draconian national ban, now have no leverage to force him to do anything. So, you know, he's trying to, now remember, this is the guy who said, hey, I got rid of Roe, kind of now yeah. stepping back and going, well, let's take the moderate position on it.
No, look, I'm going to tell you now, that's another thing, too. The Democrats need to be making sure that they show him bragging yep. about, you know, bringing in the Supreme Court justices that would attack and do away with Roe v. Wade. You know, he has championed that. And the Democrats need to make sure that everybody sees that and hears that, because point blank, you know, it is a losing battle for the Republicans. It's over like 86% are for women's choice. You know, it's just the same thing also when you're talking about cannabis and recreational. I mean, this stuff brings people out, and this is what we have to do. We got to make sure that people stay alert. We got to keep people fired up and motivated. You got to let these young women out there know that their voice has been taken from them because of Donald Trump. And, you know, if they show up at the polls, they're going to make him pay.
But here's the thing. This is the question. Last question I've got for you, because again, I go back to this thing where we started with Trump saying he's going to use the military more often. What happens if he decides, you know what, the last election was rigged, we're going to have to put federal troops in every election, in every polling place in this country? Thoughts?
Put them there. If you're gonna put soldiers at all the polling stations, that's fine. But make no mistake about it, you know, they're not gonna go in there and change people's votes. At the end of the day, the people that vote the way they vote, that's how it's gonna be counted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I disagree with Donald Trump's usage of our military.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, I believe that if he is ever elevated back to that seat, I believe that the, you know, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff will quickly explain to him that that's not how the military is used. So I don't think I'm telling you right now. My goal is, and my belief is that Donald Trump is done.
There you go.
He's done, and we're gonna keep on this. I'm gonna fight this battle every day. I'm gonna fight this battle until he is in jail. And once again, if he becomes the president and he thinks it's okay to come after us, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. The only thing I've ever done is serve my country and fight for our democracy. So, you know, it is what it is. I will refuse to even call that man he's not a leader. Donald Trump is not a leader. He is absolute the worst of us. And that's a fact.
Rich, appreciate the time, man. Always good stuff.
Anytime, my brother.
Thanks so much, our good friend Rich Ojeda. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1910. That was the day when thousands of people came to see the location where a fire had ravaged a sweatshop in Newark, New Jersey. The day before, at least 26 women perished in the inferno. The workers of the Alfred and Irving Wolf Muslin Undergarment Company made nightgowns. On the morning of the fire, there were more than 100 women crowded into the fourth floor workspace. The fire broke out when a can of gasoline was knocked over in the lamp company located below the sweatshop. The floors of the garment shop were wooden and strewn with fabric. The fire spread quickly. It roared up so fast. Even though there was a fire station across the street, the fire crew could not get there in time. It would become the worst fire in Newark's history. Desperate women tried to escape, but the fire safety exits were not adequate. Some of the women leapt to their deaths from the fourth story windows. The fire became national news. No one was ever held legally accountable for the conditions that led to the fire. Less than a year and a half later, tragedy would again strike the garment industry when the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire would claim the lives of 146 workers.
The events of the Newark fire faded into the annals of history. For years, no memorial marked the location. Richard Greenwald, a dean at a nearby university, thought that the women who died deserved to be remembered. As the 100th anniversary approached, he found the graves of 25 of the women and organized a memorial ceremony. He also helped to create a bronze plaque to remember the site. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So over the weekend, Trump was in South Carolina, and if you saw the Pimento Bowl, the game between South Carolina and Clemson, if you saw it, you'd gone, you know, he won South Carolina by 12 points. In 2020, they were booing him, and quite loudly. And this is where, you know, I think Rich is, you know, onto something, where, you know, maybe people are waking up to the reality that he's not all the rage anymore. He is getting booed. He is not filling up the big stadiums. And I don't know that we're going to see many. I don't know that we're going to see many of the big rally things where he's turn the cameras around kind of stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But he got booed pretty soundly. And our quote of the day comes from evangelical pastor Bob Vanderplaats. Now, Bob Vanderplaats was never a Trumper, so don't get all excited. He was a Huckabee Ted Cruz guy. So, you know, him coming out against Trump isn't a huge deal, but it is a crack in the evangelical wing. He said, look, the number one hurdle for Donald Trump is, I've never met a dad or mom or grandpa or grandma who have told me that they want their son or daughter or grandchild to grow up to be like him. And that's true. I've yet to meet even the most ardent supporter wearing the hat and the t-shirt going, yeah, I want my kids to emulate that. That's an interesting point he's made there. Also, Maria Bartiromo over at the F Channel. She has come out and again gone back to the conspiracy of, you know, Joe Biden's not really there. He's not really doing all this work. It's Barack Obama. Obama's calling the shots. And you go, no, I think you got it wrong. Because what Biden, and this again shows maybe how little she understands about neoliberalism and how radical the policies that Biden is moving is to moderate Democrats, because this wasn't Biden, this wasn't Obama's agenda. He was a free trader, you know. We're not gonna pass free trade agreements. Got three of them, and then wanted the TPP. Biden is actually reshoring manufacturing and doing the work that Obama didn't. So this idea that, you know, Obama's calling the shots is just ridiculous. Just on the fact that make that argument. Now, Chris Christie, who pledges he's going to stay in the primary till the very end, till at least the convention. He said on Sunday that because, you know, Trump's never going to concede. And Christie said, look, you know, no one will expect Trump to concede. He hasn't conceded the 2022 election. Who cares? He said that I think he'll go back to Mar-a-Lago. He'll continue to carp and moan and complain and say we don't deserve him. Anything that gets him out of this race and keeps him out of the White House is fine with me. Finally, something I agree with Chris Christie on. Now, I don't think Trump is going to lose the primary. I don't think there's enough Republican support out there for anyone else yet, because they haven't gotten any traction with these play debates. There's nothing. And I don't know that any of them have the support to really take out any of the others. You got Mitt Romney saying that he'd vote for a Democrat, you know, over Vivek Ramaswamy.
I think anybody would vote for a Democrat over Ramaswamy. And I guess DeSantis as well. So who is, if Trump does falter, if he does go down, who would be the Republican nominee? I mean, because we really haven't had a serious debate cycle. I mean, it's been more whining and complaining, a little light on the policy fronts, a little light on how we're going to change things and make lives better, a little light on that. But I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think it's possible that Trump is not going to be the nominee? I know a lot of my friends are like, he's going to be indicted. He's going to go to jail. He's going to get convicted. And I'm going, maybe. I'm not holding my breath. I'm still of the presumption that he's going to be the nominee. And we've got to get out to vote to ensure that he doesn't find his way back to the White House. Because unlike Rich, I am concerned about federal troops in polling places. I am concerned.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.